What a show we have this week. We have two amazing people from Yale. Lee McCarthy, who's a civil celebrant here in Yale, offering services to people. You will hear it in the interview. Very interesting story. And to top it all off, then we have Mr. Yale himself, the man of the moment, Ollie Casey, and two very interesting people to talk to this week, and hope you enjoy it. We kick off with the right one, the top of the bunch, I suppose. Ollie Casey, how are we doing?
Don't blow me up too much, Jerry. I'm doing well. Thank you for having
first
me.
First of all, thanks for dropping in. People that I've spoken to, you know, about, I'm going to talk to Ollie Casey, they're blown away. Everyone knows Ollie Casey, but I think there's a few hidden gems in there, is there?
I don't know.
we'll explore it for 10 minutes. We won't. If I go too deep, you can let me know. I suppose that's the whole ethos of the show, as I explained to you off here. You know, meet people that are well known in the area and, you know, find out. Maybe there's just one little nitbit of information that people might know about Ollie Casey, and that's the whole ethos of the show.
I hope there's a lot they don't know about Ollie Casey.
The more the better. You were born in the Mall here in Yale.
I was born in the Mall 77 years ago this year.
So you are a true Yale man.
A real Maller, I am indeed.
How many were in your family when you were born?
Well, it was just myself and my sister.
Okay.
Mother and father and that's it.
Is the house still standing?
The house is Neil Callaghan's now. I was actually looking at a picture, an old picture of it. It became derelict. It was number 9 in the Mall.
Right.
And we moved to number 4, knocked number 5 and rebuilt.
You didn't move first, so, did you?
So I'd had 3 moves in my life and they were all in the Mall.
What was it like 77 years ago growing up in Yale compared to now?
You were everybody's child.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that
did
really
everyone rear you?
Struck me. They did.
Yeah.
And they disciplined you.
Yeah.
You know, they cared for you. You could walk into anybody's house.
Yeah.
And you'd be treated the same as their own.
Right.
They were really wonderful people in the Mall.
And, you know, there was that spirit of camaraderie there among neighbours. Like, you could leave the key in the door and you could leave the door open.
Oh,
and
right,
you could, you know, if you were, like, I know growing up in Bandicoot, if we were short a couple of tea bags for the supper, we'd go into the neighbour and get a couple of tea bags for a spoon of sugar. Or
you could.
There was all those things.
It was used to at that time.
That's right, yeah.
And it was often dried and reused.
Yeah, and the strainer.
That's right.
Yeah, there were great times, though, weren't there?
They were wonderful times, I must say.
And you grew up, like, did you do full education? Did you have aspirations younger
days? I had aspirations, all right. And my aunt was willing to send me to college, but I attended at the Presentation Convent, where this site is now.
Okay.
And had wonderful nuns, went to the Christian Brothers, and I stayed there until I was 15 and a half.
Okay.
I met a 6-foot-odd brother who despised me, and I didn't get on too well with him either.
Okay.
If I was 6'3", he'd have been flat in his back.
That was here in the convent over the road?
No, yeah. in the Christian Brothers.
Or the Christian Brothers.
Yes, yeah. He actually helped me to leave school, but I never looked back.
He did you a favour, really?
He did me a big favour.
So you left school at 15?
15 and a half.
And a half.
And I went as an apprentice to the gasworks.
Okay. How did your parents, were your parents alive, both parents alive at that time? And how did they take that? They
took it. My mother, if my father had known what had happened, I'd say he'd have went down and sorted them out. But he didn't. I didn't explain fully what happened there.
Okay.
I told my mother, and my mother was a great woman.
Okay.
She kept it to herself.
Very good. Mothers did that generally, didn't they?
I got hammered, I must say.
Really?
No, I have no. There's no bitterness in me.
Yeah.
I just didn't like him, and he didn't like me.
But I suppose the upside of it, as you said, he done you a favour because
he did me a big favour.
And at 15 and a half, were apprenticeships widely available at that stage?
Well, talk about nepotism. My grandfather worked in the gasworks.
Ali.
My father worked in the gasworks. And I worked in the gasworks, and the three of us worked there at the one time.
The three of us.
So I went as an apprentice fitter.
So three generations worked in the gasworks.
Gasworks, yeah.
And where were the gasworks that time?
The gasworks were where the council yard is now.
Okay.
And it was built in 1830, and it closed in 1963.
Really? 1963?
Yeah.
That's 56 years ago.
Yes.
Because I was born in 1963. I've just told everyone my age. So.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm nearly as old as you. I'm catching up with you. What was it like working in the gas company then? Was that a stable job? Was it as good as your carpets or, you know?
Yeah, well, it was a tough place to work. Conditions were not what you'd call the best. You know, you worked outdoors, which I enjoyed, but you worked outdoors in all conditions and you weren't supplied with the gear that the council have now.
Yeah,
and it was actually the council that ran and owned the gasworks.
All right.
It was built under an act of George III.
Okay. That's interesting. But I suppose, you know, you said it was a tough place to work. It can't be that bad if your granddad worked there and your father worked there.
Oh, my father was a stoker.
Okay.
And the wages were £5 a week.
£5?
For a six-day week. I worked a six-day week as an apprentice. And the only concession I had was that I didn't have to come in at 8 in the morning. I worked 9 to 6.
As an apprentice?
As an apprentice.
How long, what term was on the apprenticeship?
5 years.
5 years. And at the end of that, then you had your certificate or you had your qualifications?
I had my papers, my qualification.
Yeah. Did that mean a lot to you?
It did. And in a way, you see, gasworks were, I was offered a job in Galway. There was a manager there, Mr. Neefsey. He was German. And I was offered a job in Galway, and I was going with Anne at the time, Lord of Mercy at Anne now.
Right.
And I had a decision to make, would I go to Galway? And if you went to Galway at that time, it was like going to the States.
Yeah, sure, there was no very little traffic, or very transport.
But it helped us to get there. You'd be in the States quicker.
Yeah. So you choose Anne over Galway?
I choose Anne over Galway.
And you didn't regret a bit of that?
I never regretted it.
And just, we'll come to Anne in a few moments. Like, you served your 5 years apprenticeship in the gasworks. You said you're not a bitter person and you hold no bad feelings. Did you ever feel like getting the certificate and sending it on to the Christian Brother?
No. I never maintained any contact with him. No, I must say, Jerry, that I met some wonderful brothers.
Oh, yeah. When you served your apprenticeship and qualified, did it stay in the gas company then?
No, I didn't. The gasworks closed.
Okay.
I was 58 to 63, and shortly after that it closed.
By God.
I had nothing to do with the closure. It was the council that had to do with the closure, because they actually used the gasworks to subsidise the rates.
Okay.
And they kept on drawing the profits from it.
Okay.
And never put it back in and updated it. And if they had, there would be gas in Yall today, but there's no gas in Yall today.
Okay. Hindsight is a great thing.
That's the result of it.
When you qualified, was your dad still in the gasworks? Was your granddad still there? Or
they all went with the gasworks. He was still there.
So when you qualified, you were out the gap, but so was your dad. And
yeah, went.
How was that on the family? How was that on your mum? Was it a double whammy?
No, because at that time the carpets was after starting, and the carpets was very, very. The wages were I had £6.10 and threepence in the gas box. Imagine, and I went to the factory for a short time, about a year and nearly 2 years, and I had £16 a week.
Wow, £16.
£16 when I went weaving.
No wonder Anne wanted you.
No. She had me before.
Did you she wanted not the money?
I had nothing.
But you could afford to fly up to Galway on that money.
I could have.
So that was around 1963. You were dating Anne at that stage, huh?
I was going with Anne, then we got married in.
Tell me a bit about Anne. Where did you meet?
We met in Healy's in South Abbey, just across the road from here.
Okay.
Anne's mother was a Yall woman.
Okay.
And Anne was born in Clonmel. They moved to Mallow, then to Fermoy, but the mother always wanted to come back to Yall. She was married to George Morgan, who was a Wexford man.
Okay.
And you know all the Morgans, wonderful people.
Yeah.
And she got her wish, she came back to Yall, and that's where I met Anne. And
And was there anything like, did her mother know that Ali Casey was young, free and available in Yale? Was that part of the reason she wanted to come back?
Well, she knew me because I was great friends with the Healy's.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to the Healy's regularly. I had my eye on one of one of them. But, and one out anyway.
When Anne got your eye, was that it? Did you give up the chase?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Wonderful person.
Blew you off your feet.
Yeah.
You often passionately refer to her as your rock. You got married. How long were you dating before you?
We were 4 years.
4 years dating. That wasn't long.
And we were 50 years married.
50 years married.
That was a long time at that time.
Yeah. And of course, those times I've spoken to people like Trebeen, you know, I suppose Red Barn and the Hilltop and all those places.
We weren't much into. I was a doorman in the town hall for a lot of dances, and I'd go in and she'd do a few dances and whatever.
Would you be watching out that she wasn't trying and riding another fella?
I never worried about her.
Well, not her, but other fellas, would they be?
I never worried about them either.
No? Were they afraid of Ali Casey?
No, they weren't.
The doorman at the door.
It was five or six. who would be afraid of five or six men?
So you married the girl of your dreams around
1965.
65, right, okay.
Yeah, and 12th of June.
12th of June, 1965.
Yeah.
And you settled in Yale. That was the prior arrangement, I suppose.
We did. We lived with my mother, in my mother and father's, for a few years.
How did that work out?
Grand, great. You know, great.
Yeah.
And
was that a done thing that time?
No, but you see, I had bought my aunt had bought the property next door,
okay,
which was derelict.
Okay.
And we paid £30 for it. I built a house there and it for
£2,300.
And there was furniture and all went into that. So we were there since. I'm here since now.
And in yourself got married in 1965. You were blessed with two children. Was that Kieran, long into your marriage? Or?
Kieran and Margaret. Kieran was born in 66, May 66.
But you didn't hang around, did you?
Calculations, no.
You didn't hang around.
We were married in June.
They're all out with the rosary beads on. They're all out with the rosary beads.
And the Margaret was born in the Kieran was born the 23rd of May and Margaret was born on the 2nd of June 1969.
Okay, so there was a couple of years.
We had two children.
Right.
Not our fault that we didn't have more, but that was the way it worked out for us.
And you were married to Anne for 50 years?
50 years we were married.
So that was 1968, 2000 and what?
2015.
15.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Anne took ill.
65 to 2015.
She took ill.
Anne was ill for a few years. She had kidney problems and that. And she passed away in August.
Everlasting memories are still raw. Obviously, it's only 5 years.
Yes, but wonderful memories.
Wonderful memories,
I mean, you can't be with a person for 50 years and not have some wonderful times.
There must be something there.
We did everything together.
At what stage did you show an interest or express an interest in, say, the council? You were in the council. At what stage did you join the fire service?
In the fire service, I joined in 1979. Yes.
Okay. And so, like, was that growing up in a place like Yale, was that something you always had aspirations to do?
No, not really. Only I was interested. I liked the thought of service. I always liked that. And the money, as I said, wasn't great in the job that I was in. I had left the factory at the time.
All right.
And I had gone to the waterworks.
Okay.
And
because not only were you in the waterworks, but you were a curator as well, were you?
I was water curator in the waterworks.
What did that entail? What was that
treatment, water? Full treatment of the water.
That was your responsibility?
Was my responsibility.
Sole responsibility, or was there a team of curators?
At the time, I did 6 years.
Okay.
365 days a year. Wow. For 6 years, never had a day off except for my wedding in 65. I had a week.
Did you manage to get a time off for that?
Got a week off for that.
Nice.
But
was that an important job? Like, you don't see other curators now?
Oh, there are. Yeah, there was, Mike Hall was before me, and then they built a modern waterworks. There was an old waterworks in Ravens Rock.
Okay.
And they built a new one, which was the most modern in Europe at the time. And that was in 63, that was built.
You were in the council, the Oil Town Council, as a worker for 42 years, yeah?
Yes.
And you were a water curator for 35 of those.
That's
42.
Right, yeah.
And did the curator job come at the start of the council service, or was it?
I actually left the factory on a point of principle.
Okay.
And I left at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. And that's a long story, but
we won't
anyway,
go on, yeah.
I went in home and I informed them all I was after leaving the job, and that was that.
How did that go?
It went okay. I mean, I was
you had your
my
reason.
Own person,
yeah.
And Anne always backed me in anything I ever did, I must say. I can't remember any time that she didn't.
Okay.
And at about 5 o'clock, there was a knock on the door, and it was Pierre O'Regan, the engineer, and he said, "I heard your idol." And I said, "What?" He says, "Would you be interested in a job?" I said, because, you see, I had the fitting experience. So he said, "There's a job going in the waterworks," and he said, "Will you come there?" And I did, and I was 35 years old.
When you get offered a position like that, does money come into it, or is it pride? Or?
Money, actually, I half my wages halved.
By going to the
waterworks. And the best thing about it was I never had to look back, for the simple reason that it was a wonderful job in that I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote poetry. I did whatever. I was my own boss 99.9% of the time.
Okay. So you loved what you were doing.
Studied my job and made a good.
You, being a curator and everything, at what stage you said about writing poetry? When did that come around?
In the 6 years I was by myself.
You wrote the book then?
I didn't write the book then, no. I didn't write the book about the gasworks until very late.
Very late.
Yeah,
based on memories.
Mm-hmm.
Based on memories and.
Memories, which was really. It is a social history in a way.
Okay.
Because
and it's called That's Gas.
That's Gas.
There are people I know who have copies of it. I might get a look at it.
Yeah.
Did you find that therapeutic?
I did. And I wanted to do it from the point of view that it was a different time. People were different people at the time, as we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you were everybody's child. You were, in them days, you were nearly everybody's friend.
Yeah.
Very few people, I can say, that I fell out with ever in my life, I could count them on three or four fingers.
Yeah.
You know,
And when you're living such an interesting life as a curator, water curator, and working in the council, where did the interest in politics come in?
I was always interested in politics.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still interested in it. I watch Brexit. It's better than Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And where it'll all end up. I'm very interested to see what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah.
But I always had an interest in local politics.
Okay.
Not in national or anything like that.
Was it an interest? When you declared your interest, was it because you see Joe Bloggs or Mary Bloggs doing a good job and you thought you could do better, or was it?
No, I respected the people that were in politics here,
okay.
Who were local councillors. I respected them and had an interest, as I said. In
did you find a good, proud time to be serving the people that you knew, that you were really...
I liked it. I liked it very much.
Because you served as an independent councillor in your town council. You served 3 terms there. So is that 15 years? 5 years a term. Yeah. And then... you also served as mayor of Yoel for 3 terms. Was that 15 years as well?
Yeah.
Was that an honour?
That was a real honour. I must say it was. I felt very honoured to be an independent and to get...
That was a big one, yeah.
To have the council pick me as mayor.
When you were serving your time as... And I've heard stories that you were very successful, and I'm not patronising, but I've heard that. When you were serving your 3 terms as an independent councillor, were you ever approached by political parties?
I was told that if I ran for national government by one group, they would cover all my expenses and everything else. And I told them that I had no interest whatsoever in national politics.
And what years were that?
That was about the second term, yeah.
Right. So nothing has changed, really, has it?
Nothing has changed, no.
But did you find that you were able to get more done as an independent?
I was very lucky as an independent that I could put forward some things that would be of benefit to the town. And I knew it from inside as well as outside, like having worked for the council. And I knew all the nuances of what that went on, say, from the official side as well.
So am I right in saying that when you were serving as an independent councillor and indeed as a mayor of Yoel, you were still working, you did 21-year service in the fire station, yeah?
I did. I was still working in the waterworks.
Still working in the waterworks. As an independent councillor.
And I was an independent councillor.
Yeah. And you served 21 years in the fire service.
I did.
And during that 21 years, you were 13 years as station officer.
I was.
That was a big responsibility.
It was. And I liked the job as station officer. I know the buck stopped, and at times it was tough.
Yeah.
But
did you have to make some awkward calls?
You did. Yeah. I think I got along well with all the most of the lads anyway. I must say that. They could say anything or do anything to me when I was when we were in the station.
Because you know,
of the duty, but once we were on a call, there was a command system there, and you took control, and that was it.
Okay.
And it was a tough job.
Okay.
It was a tough job, but I think as one fellow said, you know, firefighters are a peculiar breed. You either survive or you don't. You know what I mean?
You have
to have a liking for the job.
And during all that time, then you were also a driver and mechanic.
I was driver mechanic. That was the title.
Driver mechanic. That was a responsible job as well, wasn't it?
It was. I crashed the fire engine one time. But
We won't go into that. And how, if you crashed the fire engine, how did you become a national instructor with the fire department?
I did a course.
Okay.
And I came back from the course, and the chief at the time was Tom Donoghue.
Okay.
And Tom Donoghue happened to be in the station for practice.
Okay.
And he said to me, you're just back from a course. He says, what could you do with the breathing apparatus? And I said, I'll take it apart and put it back together again and show you all the parts of it. I'd say Billy, Lord of Mercy, and Billy Mathis nearly had a stroke, but I did. And I spoke for an hour, and I was packing up the gear, and he said, could you speak for another bit? And I spoke for a second hour. So the 2 hours of our practice went into it. And I think
they liked what
that's,
they heard.
That's where it took off. So when the opportunity came around to do an instructor's course, I did it, and I trained in quite a number of guys in the county and outside of the county as well.
When the time, and this is a question I ask all my guests, so please don't be insulted. When the time comes that God decides to take her off the earth and take her back up to Anne and all her family, how would you like to be remembered as Ali Casey?
Just as Ali Casey.
The man that saved many lives in the fire service, or curated the water?
Let other people judge me.
You won't mind?
No.
Once you're reunited with Anne and Ogden.
Yeah.
Is there anything on your bucket list that you'd like to do before you go?
I like to travel a bit.
Okay.
And I like to go to London.
Okay. Well, that's only over the water. Uh-huh. Like, that's only a hop, skip, and a jump.
That's all.
Have you been to Australia, New Zealand,
no,
or
never.
South Africa?
I'd have loved to have been. We were thinking of going there one time under the £10 scheme, you know, but thanks be to God we didn't.
Okay.
You know.
So no regrets, really. You've seen it all, done that.
No, absolutely none.
And your pet hate is lies. That's fascinating. I what blows me away looking at you is, you know, your mind is obviously fully 100% with it, and that's a great thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's my head is good. My chest isn't the best, but
But the mind is 100% 77.
Didn't think I'd ever see it.
Still down the mall.
Still down the mall.
Does it bring back sad memories at times like this?
Sad.
Happy memories.
Well, it's sad that I lost Dan.
Yeah, of course. But you have the memories.
No, I have
no regrets. If there was one thing in your that you could change before you do hang up the gloves and pop the clogs, what would it be?
If there was one thing that I would do, I'll tell you, is to get the wall finished that I proposed at the council meeting. And some of it is done, and I believe there's going to be more done now up towards the credit union.
Right.
And I'd like to see that, to live to see that wall completed all the way up as far as the slab.
Would they call it the Alicacy wall? Would they call it the Alicacy?
No, and I wouldn't be interested in anybody. There's many of the things that happened in councils that I wouldn't. Just that it would be finished and it would protect the town. Because global warming, they say that it will rise half a metre in 50 years. Now they're beginning to think that it would rise a metre in 50 years. So we'd be like, if I was still down in the mall in 50 years' time, we'd be like Venice.
Have any of your children or grandchildren expressed an interest in doing what you've done?
The one thing I'm very proud of the grandchildren is they're all musical.
Okay.
You know, Rebecca and Oisín are into Curtis here, and over Jake, Sasha, and Gat, they're all into music as well.
Right.
Jake now is in university. He wants to be an aeronautical engineer.
Wow. That's an interesting.
They're all. My granddaughter in London, the two here are quite young yet, but my granddaughter in London, she's 19. She wants to be a teacher, and Gat is too young yet to have his mind made up. So,
Ali Casey, it's been a fantastic half hour talking to you. We've covered mostly everything, haven't we?
I think we have, yeah.
Is there anything you want to...
Just thank you, Jerry, for the opportunity to be able to...
What an absolute gem of a man. Ali Casey. Everyone knows Ali Casey from down there on the mall. Wonderful story, and we thank him for taking part in my programme. We'll talk to you again soon.